Welcome back to another episode of Sundays with Jeff Miller. Remember, we're going to be mostly talking about the NFL, and that means not for losers. This is where you come to get the information you need to make your fantasy football team successful. So don't forget, you can contact me at sundayswithjeffmiller@gmail.com with any questions you might have. Let the clock begin. Well, it's time to get back to our It series. So today I wanted to share with you the It Factor Part 3. And I had talked about some drafts that I had done, some mock drafts that I had done. And I think that is a great part to go along with your It Factor. I think practicing mock drafts with the type of draft that you're using for your league, for instance, PPR in this one, is great for learning. Now, the one I'm sharing with you today actually wasn't a mock. It was an actual draft, 12-team PPR that I'm in, that we did Thursday evening. So round one, I was surprised to see Justin Jefferson go before Cooper Kupp. Although not as surprised as some, probably, because I actually picked him with the third pick, but my reasoning for that was that I was looking and using some of the information I had shared previously, and one of the things that made me take a good hard look at it is, yes, Cooper Kupp had a great season last year, but I was trying to pick somebody young and someone that I thought could raise their level of play, and Jefferson was the one I come up with, and one of the reasons I like it is because his offensive coordinator last year, who was Cooper Kupp's offensive coordinator, is now his offensive coach this year. So those are the types of it factors that I'm looking for when I'm trying to pick my team. Another surprise for me is someone I'm a fan of, Najee Harris, falling to number nine in round one. On to round two. Hill goes before Diggs. That's a little bit of a surprise. And then there was a run on quarterbacks. So the 16th, 18th, and 22nd pick, Allen, Mahomes, and then Herbert, all in the second round. Now, Travis Kelce started the second round. He was the first tight end to go at 13. And then Andrews also went in round two at number 21. So that's something you might want to consider if you're at the flip of your draft, picking 12, 13, or 10, 11. Round three, tight end Patrick, the tight end panic attack starts. That's what I want to get out. Yes, pick 26, Kyle Pitts goes. Pick 31, George Kittle. Pick 35, Schultz. So the run begins. Then we have Aaron Jones and Leonard Fournette. A little bit of a surprise for me, both of these guys. Aaron Jones falls to 27, Leonard Fournette falls to number 36. And then we move into round four, and the quarterback panic hits. So everybody decides, oh, yeah, I need to draft a quarterback. Starts with Jackson at 37, Brady at 38, Burrow at 39. Then we take a break for just a moment. And then number 41 is the shocker of all for me. Derek Carr goes number 41. Now, listen, these quarterbacks are still available. Hurts, Wilson, Stafford, and Prescott. And oh, by the way, that one player picked in between Carr and Burroughs, Breece Hall, the rookie running back, goes number 40, first rookie drafted in round four at pick 40. That's Breece Hall. How about round five? Round five. Jalen Hurts and Russell Wilson go back to back at 49 and 50. And there I am, lo and behold, with the third pick, and I'm looking at Deontay Johnson, who falls to me at number 51, and I was glad to scoop him up. I'll take that WR1. I heard that the other day. One of the other podcasters said, pick a number one receiver before you pick a number two receiver on another team. And I kind of think that there might be something to that, and this was an example for me. So I went with Deontay Johnson with that pick. Also, number 55, A.J. Dillon falls to pick number 55. And here we go. This is the backup to Aaron Jones. This is a perfect example of what I was just stating. Somebody picked a backup running back when there were RB1 still available and wide receiver one still available in the draft. I think there was a couple great values at the end of this draft. James Conner at 58, Mike Williams at 59. If you're using him for your number two or three running back and number two or three wide receiver, I think you got great value with that pick. In round six, the second rookie comes off the board, and it was a shock. Chris Olave goes at 66, and then the third rookie comes off the board also in round six, Travis Etienne, number 69. Now, there have been a lot of people that have projected him in the third or fourth round, so that was a little bit of a surprise for me. Round seven, Chris Godwin falls to pick 75, and Brandon Cooks to 78. Would have never guessed that. The first kicker goes in this round, drafted. Yes, the first kicker. That is Tucker at number 77. And then the second kicker goes, McPherson at number 80. Meanwhile, we still have Penny at 81, Mooney at 83, and Elijah Mitchell at 84. Two starting running backs that go after the first kicker and after the second kicker. I'm not sure, people. It happened. I didn't believe it. Round eight, Allen Robinson goes at 85, a great value there. Zach Ertz at 89, another good value. And then Hunter Renfrow at number 93. Did I mention that in this round? I think I didn't. Did I? No. Yeah. First defense goes to people. Buffalo is picked at number 92. And guess who picks them? The same person who took Tucker at 77. So we go back to back in the seventh and eighth round, and we get the first kicker and the first defense off the board. I don't know. I'm a little surprised. So Mr. Irrelevant in the whole draft was Austin Hooper, tight end for Tennessee. That's Mr. Irrelevant, although I think he could be a great value at that pick. He is doing really well with Ryan Tannehill in preseason games. They've got a really nice connection there, and I'm surprised I missed that because I was kind of high on him a little bit and kind of forgot about him. So I think that was a great Mr. Irrelevant pick. And I am surprised. I am surprised a little bit. There were some rookies that were drafted running back-wise, and this was the slew of them. Damian Pierce went in the 11th round. Isaiah Pacheco from Kansas City went in the 13th round. White, the running back for Las Vegas, who was getting a lot of play because they cut Kenyon Drake, goes at 14. Tyler Allgeier, the running back for Atlanta, who looks promising at 15. And then Brian Robinson, also running back for Washington, who looks promising, going at 15. Now, I did kind of allude to players that were left that are available on some of the draft boards. Oh, I misspoke when I said White. The White I was talking about was Tampa Bay. I was thinking about Zamir White, who is still available, running back for the Las Vegas Raiders, who looks like he'll be RB2 there. Tyrann Davis Price, the running back for San Francisco. Rumors are that they're going to cut Sermon. He moves up the board, could be a starter there. Dante Foreman. Now, this one surprised me. The running back who is the handcuff for McCaffrey was not picked up. So still available. Still available. And I think that's important. No. Romeo Doubs, the Green Bay wide receiver who's getting a lot of play, did not get drafted. Nico Collins, somebody I like out of Houston, a wide receiver. He had 33 catches last year, 446 yards and a touchdown. But I think he could be a sleeper later on. And then there's a few guys that just really shocked me, and these next few are the guys, and there's a lot to give you here. KJ Osborne, wide receiver, Minnesota. He was ranked number 39 last year in PPR with 158 fantasy points. He caught 50 balls, 82 targets, 655 yards. I know it's not much, but you've heard me talk about it before, 7 touchdowns. And then Van Jefferson, he was actually for the LA Rams, wide receiver, also was 36 in PPR last year at 168 fantasy points, 50 catches, 89 targets, very similar to Osborne, and 6 TDs, not drafted, still available in this particular league. So there's a couple there. How about Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver, Buffalo? Now, we don't have much to go on other than the fact that he's going to be the slot receiver because Cole Beasley's gone. So vacated targets. Beasley vacates over the last 2 years, 219 targets, 164 catches, 5 TDs, and 365 fantasy points. So if Isaiah McKenzie can come close to that 184 projected fantasy points, that kind of moves him into the range of WR3, WR4 for a lot of teams. Somebody I think you should keep your eye on. And then Joshua Palmer, another one getting a lot of play at wide receiver for the LA Chargers. In the preseason, he's caught 3 balls on 8 targets, 75 yards, 1 touchdown in 2 games, just 2 games. Last year, he had 33 catches, 353 yards, and 4 TDs on 49 targets as a rookie. He could become the WR3 in Los Angeles. Keep an eye out for him. And then there are also some tight ends who are available. Noah Fant was left on the board for Seattle. Hayden Hurst, the tight end in Cincinnati. Evan Ingram moves over to Jacksonville. Logan Thomas, who everybody was raving about last year, looks like he's going to be ready to play week 1 for Washington. And then here's one we really like. Isaiah Likely, tight end Baltimore, came out of Coastal Carolina in the 4th round. 8 catches on 8 targets, 100 yards and a touchdown against Arizona this week in preseason. Also getting a lot of play. And the rumor is that they're going to try to get him on the field, even with Mark Andrews, because he is that good. So there you go. Remember, it's only fair if you share. Bye.